Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verses 1 and 2. Let's get to work. We're prayed up. We've trusted everything to God. And now God wants us to remember some things. This is entitled, Our Name or Names. And don't call me by your family name. What is a surname? Greetings, kindred and fellow sheep. We're on a first name basis here. My name is Walter. The Holy Spirit is the real teacher. My job is to lead you toward Him. I am your classmate in God's classroom. As my classmates in God's classroom, you will do the work with me. What is your surname? Classmates, would you take verse 1 and let me respond with verse 2? We're in Ecclesiastes chapter 7. You read first verse number 1. A good name is better than precious ointment, and the day of death than the day of one's birth. It is better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting. For that is the end of all Adam. And the living will lay it to his heart. There is so much doctrine in these two verses. We could go anywhere in the books of God's library. Shall we narrow the scope and lighten our burdens? Let's go to Proverbs chapter 22, verse number 1. For those of you who still have eyes to see the printed page, it joys my heart to see you following along in your personal swords, your own Bibles. Because these are what you will witness from. The title of our fellowship lesson is Our Name, and Don't Call Me by Your Family Names. Let us read out of Proverbs chapter 22 in unison, verse number 1. A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor than silver and gold. Whose loving favor? When I was a grubby looking, snot-nosed kid in grammar school, I avoided the bigger kids. When necessary, I ran fast. I was a fugitive from war. To see me was to want to beat me. One of the older, bigger boys told me that. They got used to me keeping my distance, so they administered the name-calling test. They were so good at it, I went home and complained, Pop, they're calling me awful, cussing, dirty, filthy, nasty names. My earthly father, in his wisdom, never put his thumb in anyone's steam valve. When I finished blowing out all my frustration, I saw he was smiling. What am I supposed to do? I asked. The next time they start calling you dirty, filthy, nasty names, you tell them, oh yeah, takes one to know one, and don't call me by your family names. The prospect of unloading all that on my tormentors made me smile. I learned to run faster. Quote, a good name is better than precious ointment, unquote. Why would a pedagogue whose history is doing lessons on Bible biology lead a lesson on our family names? Let's go to Amos, the end time prophet Amos, chapter 3, verse 2. Biology has a great deal to do with family. It starts with DNA, genes and chromosomes, who gets whose blood on transfusions, right down to what we eat. Family is biological. Small case in point, I don't recommend blood transfusions. Liquid chlorophyll underneath the tongue or Clarenergy chlorella. Your body can manufacture new blood out of that by just adding with very little energy at all. You can do it in a coma. One little radical to the chlorophyll molecule, and you get fresh blood serum. then your body has to invest it with the cellular components. It's you building you. Heck of a lot safer. Family is biological. Let us read out of Amos chapter 3 in unison, verse number 2. You only have I known of all the families of the earth. Therefore, I will punish you for all your iniquities. What happens if we punish somebody else's child rather than refer it to the head of the house? Yeah. The Hebrew word translated, quote-unquote, families, is translated elsewhere as kind and kindred. Even a nation is described as a body of people who all have a common ancestor. Each of us has family. Because of the evils of this life, a few of us are a family of one. Yet we have family. Our family name reveals we have family. What is a surname? What is your surname? Now, from the Latin, super and nomen, an additional name, a name or appellation added to the baptismal or Christian name which becomes a family name. Number one signification of surname, an additional name. 1828 Webster, First American Dictionary of the English Language. The Latin is a contraction for superimposed name. Let's go to Isaiah, chapter 44, verse 5. The end time prophet Isaiah, chapter 44. The great I Am God of Israel has the end time prophet Isaiah speak of a great time of blessing to come. Let us read together out of Isaiah chapter 44 in unison, verse 5. One shall say, I am the Lord's, and another shall call himself by the name of Jacob, and another shall subscribe with his hand unto the Lord, and surname himself by the name of Israel. Quote, another shall surname himself by the name of Israel. Do we notice down through his story, our family has gained many surnames? For those of you who have your Bibles open, look down to verse 7. The great I Am says, quote, in verse 7, I appointed the ancient people, unquote. Who are the ancient people? Of all the kindreds of the earth, what family is the most ancient family of them all? I need to express my gratitude and my indebtedness once again to Pastor Don Elmore. I first met Pastor Don and Randa at a Bible camp out in western Missouri, Tabernacles. And I was absolutely fascinated with Pastor Don Elmore's preaching. He had a way of taking the Bible, turning it into a huge detective story, like a who, what, where, how, why done it. And you were just fascinated all the way through the end to see, get all those questions answered. Who did it? What it was done for? Where it was done? How it was done? And why it was done? So let's start our detective investigation in Mark chapter 3, verse 16. We're in the second gospel, the gospel of Mark chapter 3. What is the apostle Peter's last name? What is Peter's surname? Classmates, we're looking at verses 16 and 17 in Mark chapter 3. Would you take verse 16 and would you let me respond with verse number 17? We're in Mark chapter 3. You read first verse 16. And Simon, he surnamed Peter. And James, the son of Zebedee, and John, the brother of James, and he surnamed them Boanerges, which is the sons of thunder. Who surnamed Peter? Jesus. This is his selection of the 12 apostles. So Peter's last name is? I heard it. Louder. Peter's last name is? Peter. Thank you. You kept me from going Pentecostal on you. James and John, sons of Zebedee, have a new surname, Boanerges, sons of thunder. Let's go to the first gospel, Matthew chapter number 10. Matthew chapter 10, verses 3 and 4. How common is the practice of surnames in the scriptures? Matthew to Revelation. Is it a common practice? We're looking in Matthew chapter 10, verses 3 and 4. Classmates, would you let me read verse 3, and would you please respond with verse number 4? We're in Matthew chapter 10. I read first verse 3. Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew the publican, James the son of Alphaeus, and Tobias, whose surname was Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. Let's go to Luke chapter 22, verse number 3. We're going to be in the third gospel, Luke chapter 22. How many apostles had surnames? How many? Let us read together in unison out of Luke chapter 22, in unison. Luke chapter 22. That's okay, sis. I am so pleased to see you doing this. We'll wait for you to find verse 3. Got it. Let us read together, Luke 22, verse 3. Then entered Satan into Judas, surnamed Iscariot, being of the number of the 12. Let's go to Acts chapter 1, verse 23. The book of the Acts of the Holy Spirit through the apostles and disciples. Chapter number 1, verse number 23. Let us read together in unison out of Acts chapter 1. Verse 23, and they appointed two, Joseph called Barsabbas, who was surnamed Justus, and Matthias. We recall that another was chosen to take Judas's bishopric. This is told in Acts chapter 1, where the selection process reduced to two candidates. Let's move ahead in the book of Acts to chapter 4, verse 36. Barnabas is one of the apostles with Paul who evangelized Antioch, Iconium, Lystra, where Paul was stoned, and Derbe. He is first named here in Acts chapter 4, verse number 36. Let us read together in unison out of Acts chapter 4, verse number 36. And Joses, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted, the son of consolation, a Levite, and of the country of Cyprus. Let's go to Acts chapter 15. We're still in the book of Acts, chapter 15, verse 22. As soon as James gave sentence that the Gentiles called of God should not be troubled about being circumcised and keeping the law of Moses, the church at Jerusalem sent two of their chief men to Antioch, with Paul and Barnabas. And it was at Antioch where the New Testament was put together. Let me read you Acts chapter 15, verse 22. Then pleased it the apostles and elders with the whole church to send chosen men of their own company to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas, namely Judas, surnamed Barsabbas, and Silas, chief men among the brethren. Let's move ahead in Acts chapter 15 to verse 37. Here Paul proposed to Barnabas to go to the cities where they had preached to, quote, see how they do, unquote. Now let us read together in unison out of Acts chapter 15, verse 37. And Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark. Who is Mark? Is he the composer of the second gospel? Let's go to the first gospel, Matthew. Chapter 16, verse 16. Matthew 16, 16. We're actually going to be looking at verses 16 and 17. When Jesus surnamed the apostles, did he ever forget their lineage? Did Jesus forget the fathers that begat them? Let's let the scriptures answer that question. Classmates, would you read verse 16 and let me respond? Actually, let me do it the other way. Let me read you verse 16 and would you respond with verse number 17? We're in Matthew chapter 16. I read first verse 16. And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. What does Bar-Jonah mean? Son is right for Bar. Who was Simeon Peter's earthly father? Do Israelites have a sense of humor? Does the God of Israel have a sense of humor? Do the sons of Isaac have a sense of humor? Is the name Isaac the Hebrew word for laughter? Does Luke chapter 5 tell us Simeon Peter and Zebedee's sons James and John were business partners? Did four fishermen leave Zebedee and the hired servants to become four fishers of men? Is Peter's father named after the prophet who was swallowed by a big fish? Can we say that surnames in the first century were not unusual? What is your last name? And how far back down the corridors of his story do our surnames track? What was Abraham's last name? We've had fun with that, right? Doug remembers that. That was one of those curiosity, stump-your-mind Bible questions we throw out there to see what our students could find. And we're all students. We're all disciples of Christ. We've agreed to let him discipline us. Just to see what we could find from the scriptures on a question like that. What was Abraham's surname? What information in the scriptures would lead us to believe Abraham and all his seed or descendants descended from a common ancestor? If John and his wife had 10 sons and 2 daughters, 10 of his children would, under common law, the law common to Israel, carry on the family name of Johnson. Robert, the village blacksmith, had sons to carry on the Smith family name. What is Abraham's last name? You notice I didn't say was. He'll come up in the resurrection. Scripture tells us that. Let's go to Genesis. Our first book on God's library shelf. Chapter 14, verse 13. We're going to be in Genesis chapter 14. Did Abraham and his descendants carry on a prominent family name? Let us read together out of Genesis chapter 14 in unison, verse number 13. And there came one that had escaped and told Abram the Hebrew, for he dwelt in the plain of Mamre the Amorite, brother of Eshcol and brother of Aner. And these were confederate with Abram. What were Mamre, Eshcol, and Aner? What do they call? What's their family name? Amorites, right? Is an Amorite? Are Amorites one of the tribes of Canaanites? Why are they confederate with Abram? It's real easy to figure out. His finger wasn't on the scales. They could be cheated easily by their own kind, but when they did business with Abraham, Abraham necessarily did business, the business of living, among the Canaanites. His character was impeccable as an honest man. They felt comfortable doing business with him. We'll get the same thing in this life. We'll have Canaanites come to see us. and do business with us because we don't have our fingers on the scale and they know it. Genesis chapter 41, verse 12. We're in the same first book on God's library shelf, Genesis. Let's go to chapter 41, look at verse 12. Do we find a second witness to Abraham's family name? Did the brethren of Joseph, the great-grandsons of Abraham, sell Joseph into slavery? Was Joseph unjustly accused of assaulting his master's wife? By what family name was Joseph known in Egypt? Let us read together in unison out of Genesis chapter 41, verse number 12. And there was there with us a young man, an Hebrew servant to the captain of the guard. And we told him, and he interpreted to us our dreams. To each man according to his dream, he did interpret. Now the second book on God's library shelf, Exodus chapter 2, verse 11. In Egypt, by what family name were the Israelites known? Was Moses of Pharaoh's household? Did Pharaoh's daughter give him his name, drawn out of the water? Moses, Hebrew for drawn out of the water. Let us read together out of Exodus chapter number 2 in unison verse 11. And it came to pass in those days when Moses was grown, that he went out unto his brethren and looked on their burdens. And he spied an Egyptian smiting an Hebrew, one of his brethren. How far down the corridors of time does the Hebrew family name prevail? Now, who was Simeon Peter's father named after? Yeah, got swallowed by a big fish. Let's go to the book of Jonah, chapter 1. Let's go to Jonah, chapter number 1. Jonah boarded a ship for Tarshish, fleeing from the presence of the Lord. God sent a great tempest that threatened to break up the ship. The shipmaster woke up the sleeping Jonah, demanding that he pray to his God. The mariners cast lots to see if one of them on board was the cause of God's anger. The lot fell on Jonah. They demanded of Jonah the cause of the evil upon them, his occupation, where he came from, his country, and his people. Let us read together out of Jonah chapter 1 in unison, verse number 9. And he said unto them, I am an Hebrew. And I fear the Lord, which hath made the sea and the dry land. New Testament time, Philippians. Let's go to Paul's epistle to the Philippians, chapter 3, verse 5. Writing to the believers at Philippi, Paul, in explaining the error of having confidence in the flesh, told them he had more reason than any other man to be drawn into that error. We're looking at verse number 5 in Philippians chapter 3. Let us read together in unison out of Philippians chapter 3, verse number 5. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee. Where do we find the book of Hebrews? Do we find that epistle among the books commonly called the New Testament? In answer to the question, what was Abraham's last name? What can we say? What is Abraham's surname?
Bar-Eber.
Thank you, brother. You're close. Let's confirm that in Genesis chapter 10. Back to the first book of the Bible. The first book on God's library shelf, chapter 10, let's look at verses 21 and 22. Who is the father of the Hebrew nation? Who is their common ancestor? Brother Doug, we know that Genesis chapter 10 is called what? The generations of Noah's there, yes. It is known, chapter 10, as the Table of Nations. You're very close. We're looking at verses 21 and 22. Classmates, in Genesis chapter 10, let me take verse 21. No, you take verse 21. You read first, and I'll follow responsively with verse 22. We're in Genesis chapter 21. Genesis chapter 10, you read first, verse 21. Unto Shem also, the father of all the children of Eber, the brother of Japheth the elder, even to him were children born. The children of Shem, Elam 1, and Asher 2, and Arphaxad 3, and Lud 4, and Aram 5. Look at verse 24. Was Eber the grandson of Arphaxad and the great-grandson of Shem? Hebrew pronunciation agreed upon, shame. Let us read together in unison out of Genesis chapter 10, verse number 24. And Arphaxad begat Selah, and Selah begat Eber. Can we see the great-great-grandfather of Eber is Noah? Is Eber's grandfather Arphaxad and his father Selah? Are we the children of Eber? Are we the Hebrew children? Is Israel in dispersion, the dispersed, scattered abroad portion of the Hebrew children? Back to Genesis chapter 14, verse 13. We need to view this scripture because I'm asking some questions. What was Abraham's last name? Alan came close. Was his great-grandson Joseph the Hebrew slave? If Abraham and his great-grandchild Joseph were Hebrews, what was their last name? If Abraham is an Hebrew, is he a son of Heber? If Abraham's great-grandson Joseph is an Hebrew, is he a son of Heber? Is Heber the father of the Hebrews? Have we met the Heberson family? Abraham Eberson? Joseph Eberson? Luke chapter 3, verses 23 and the last verse in the chapter, 38. What is Adam's last name? Classmates, to understand the reading here in capsule form, let me read verse 23. And would you respond with the last verse of the chapter, verse 38? And Jesus himself began to be about 30 years of age, being, as was supposed, the son of Joseph, which was the son of Heli, which was the son of Enos, which was the son of Seth, which was the son of Adam, which was the son of God. If we say Adam's last name is God's son, as in Adam, God's son, do we run afoul of Genesis chapter 3? Did Adam lose sonship in the fall? Was Adam's last name God's son? Let us not be guilty of underrating the catastrophic, dire, disabling, disastrous, extreme, pandemic consequences of the fall of Adam in the garden, the real pandemic. Did Adam lose his last name in the fall? What is God's last name? What record in the scriptures do we have, if any, that God has surnamed himself? Did we verify that a last name is an added name, a supernomen? Among the Christ followers, among the Christians, is a name added to the baptismal name, a surname? What is God's surname? Head of the whole family in heaven and earth? What example does he set with surname? Most of us are familiar with the Tetragrammaton. It is a compound of two Greek words, tetra, the Greek word for the number four, and gramma, the Greek word for letter. as in letters of the alphabet. The Tetragrammaton is a writing of four letters. Let's go to Exodus chapter 3. Second book of the Bible, Exodus chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. Although Tetragrammaton is, in word, Greek, it refers to an Hebrew word containing three of the 22 Hebrew consonants, Yod, He, Vav, He, for a total of four letters. It is a repeated form of the Hebrew verb to be. Classmates, let me read verse 13. Would you please respond with verse 14? We are in Exodus chapter 3. I read first. Verse number 13, and Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, The God of your fathers hath sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, What is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. Is I am that I am God's first name or his last name? Is this God's name or surname? Look at verse number 15. Is it good to get our answers from the scriptures? Let us read together in unison. Out of Exodus chapter 3, verse number 15. And God said, Moreover unto Moses, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, The Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, hath sent me unto you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations. Shall we compare verse 15 with verse 14? Did verse 14 tell us God's name is I am that I am? Yes. Did verse 15 say, the Lord God of our fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? Yes. Does verse 15 tell us, the children of Israel, this is his name forever and his memorial unto all our generations? Is his name, I am that I am, or the Lord God? Is it true that I am that I am, and the Lord God are his name? It is not or, it is and. Surprised? Both are his name indeed. The word Lord is the authorized version 1611 translation of Hebrew word 3068, transliterated Jehovah. Yahovah, some say Yahweh. Hebrew's no longer commonly spoken. How are you going to know? We can get close. It is a repeated form of the Hebrew verb to be. I am that I am. Lord is the same in Hebrew as I am that I am. Notice that Lord comes with an added name. God. God is the translation of Hebrew word number 430, Elohim. Let's collect. What is Peter's last name? Peter, thank you. What is God's last name? Quote, the Lord God, unquote, appears in 465 verses of the Bible. Lord translates, I am that I am. I am that I am has been called the great I am. Is that because he meets us at our every need? Our God is the great I am God of Israel. Is Elohim God's last name? Is Elohim God's surname? If Elohim is God's last name, should we find evidence in the scriptures that this is true? How did we find Abraham's last name? Did we find Abraham was known in the land of milk and honey as the Hebrew? Did we find that one of Abraham's forefathers, Eber, was the father of the Hebrews? Is Abraham's last name Eberson? Is God's last name Elohim? Detective story. We need evidence. Let's go to Psalms chapter 82. Elohim is translated in the collective singular, God. And in the plural, small g gods. Is there a relationship between God and the small g gods? And if so, what is that relationship? We're in Psalms 82. Classmates, would you let me read the odd-numbered verses beginning with verse 1, and would you please respond with the even-numbered verses, verse 2 on. God standeth in the congregation of the mighty. He judgeth among the small g gods. How long will ye judge unjustly and show partiality to the persons of the wicked? Selah. Many of us know that as Selah, a pause, a rest in the music, so that we can take in what we just heard. Defend the poor and the fatherless. Do justice to the afflicted and needy. Deliver the poor and needy. Free them out of the hand of the wicked. They know not, neither will they understand. They walk on in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are out of course. I have said, ye are gods, and all of you are children of the Most High. But ye shall die like men and fall like one of the princes. Arise, O God, judge the earth, for thou shalt inherit all nations. We have recited the whole of Psalms chapter 82 responsively. For this lesson's purpose, we harvest two things ripe. Classmates, look again at verse 7, which you read. From what Hebrew word is men translated? Hebrew word number 120, Adam. Why is the death of a member of Adam kind compared to, or like, simile, the fall of a prince? Are the wages of sin death? Do princes rule principalities? Let's go to Revelation chapter 5. Last book of the Bible, Revelation chapter 5, verse number 10. Many people think that Revelation is a deliberate book of obscurity. Revelation contains what English word inside of it? Reveal, that is correct. Did Adam lose dominion, sonship, and immortality in the fall? Through the redemption and grace that is in Christ Jesus, do we regain eternal life and family status, making possible our return to exercising dominion? Let us read out of Revelation chapter 5 in unison, verse number 10. And hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. Do we have a second witness to our current legal standing in heaven and our royal destiny? In 1 Peter chapter 2, would you let me read the salient part of verse 9 for this lesson? In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, we see these words, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, The word peculiar is a 1611 King James English word meaning peculiar to God, signifying that we are God's private property. Does being God's private property mean that we are His family returned to Him at last? 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. We are returned to Him at last to do what? Let us read out of 1 Corinthians chapter 2 in unison, verse 9. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. Isaiah, end time prophet Isaiah, chapter 64, it's toward the end. I think there's, 66 chapters in Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 64, verse 4. From what or where is Paul quoting in his epistle to the churches at Corinth? Let us read together in unison out of Isaiah chapter 64, verse number 4. For since the beginning of the world, men have not heard, neither hath the eye seen, O God, beside thee, what He hath prepared for him that waiteth for Him. Can you see any difference in meaning between 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, and Isaiah 64, 4? Let's go to the end time prophet Micah, chapter 4. Third witness, verse 8. We have another witness in another end time prophet, Micah. We're in chapter 4. Let us read together in unison. Out of Micah chapter 4, verse 8. And thou, O tower of the flock, the stronghold of the daughter of Zion, unto thee shall it come, even the first dominion. The kingdom shall come to the daughter of Jerusalem. Do we see dominion is no joke? Look above in Micah chapter 4 at verse 5. Let us read together. Verse 5, can we discern what this verse is all about? Let us read together in unison, Micah 4, verse 5. For all people will walk, everyone, in the name of his God, and we will walk in the name of the Lord our God forever and ever. Who are the we to whom belongs, quote unquote, forever and ever? What are small g gods doing in the kingdom that shall come to the daughter of Jerusalem? Back to Psalms chapter 82. Let's go back to Psalms chapter 82. Is the answer in verse 6? Let us read together. Out of Psalms chapter 82 in unison, verse number 6. I have said, ye are gods, and all of you are children of the Most High. Who are the ye that are small g gods and, quote, children of the Most High, unquote? New Testament time again, 1 John. We got three letters from John at the end of the library shelf in the New Testament, just before Jude and Revelation. We were going to be in the first of those three epistles, 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. These will not be unfamiliar. We covered verse 2 quite well in Now and Then, the last time I was with you. Classmates, would you read verse 1? And would you let me take verse number 2? We're in 1 John chapter 3. You read first verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. The quote, sons of God, appears twice, once in each verse. Does the margin in your Bibles give an alternate translation to the word, quote-unquote, sons. For those of you who have your Bibles open, are you given an alternate translation for the word sons in verse 1 and in verse 2? What does it say? Frank says in the margin of his Bible, he has an alternate translation for the word sons, children. Does that match the word children in Psalms chapter 82? Verse 6, quote, I have said ye are gods and all of you are children of the Most High, unquote. Let's stay in the New Testament. Let's go to the Gospel of John chapter 10. The fourth gospel, John chapter 10. In John 10, Jesus said, quote, I and my Father are one, unquote. The Jews took up stones again to stone him for blasphemy because, quote, being a man, unquote, he was making himself God. How did Jesus answer that accusation? We're in John chapter 10, looking at verses 34, 35, and 36. Classmates, would you take the even-numbered verses 34 and 36? Would you let me respond with verse number 35? We're in John chapter 10. You read first verse 34. Jesus answered them, is it not written in your law? I said, ye are gods. If he called them gods, small g gods, unto whom the word of God came and the scripture cannot be broken, say ye of him whom the Father has sanctified and sent into the world, thou blasphemest because I said I am the Son of God. Jesus speaks in Psalms chapter 82 and John chapter 10, I have said ye are small g gods. Is God's last name Elohim? Is God's surname Elohim? Is the relationship between God and the small g gods, Father and sons and daughters of God? Let's go to Galatians chapter 3. Paul's epistle to the churches of Galatia. Chapter number 3. We're looking at verse 26. We're getting close to done. Let us read together in unison verse number 26. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. If we are small g gods, are we God's family coming home to him? If God's last name is Elohim, do we, his children, bear his last name, small g gods? We're still in Galatians. Go to chapter 4, verses 4 through 7. Classmates, would you let me read the even-numbered verses? But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father, Daddy, God. You have verse 7. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Quote, an heir of God through Christ. Do we stand to inherit the untold riches of God through our oldest brother, Jesus Christ? Is our destiny membership in the most royal family in all of creation? Look at verse 6 again. Is our legal standing in heaven already sons and daughters of God, our names in the last will and testament of Jesus Christ, the book of life? Does the earnest of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of his Son, the down payment on the redemption of our forever living bodies, seal us unto the first resurrection? Is the first resurrection the better resurrection where we rise not naked but fully clothed in God's clothing, the shining garments of light? Shall we see him as he is? Shall we be like him? Look at verse 5 again. Is the, quote, adoption of sons, unquote, the placing of sons in the kingdom of our soon coming King Jesus Christ? Are we the most ancient people in all of creation? How long have we been here? Do the scriptures testify to our being the ancient people of scripture? Back to Isaiah 44:7. We began this lesson with surnames. We read in Isaiah, a future time when, quote, one shall say, I am the great I ams. Another shall call himself by the name of Jacob, and another shall surname himself by the name of Israel, unquote. Let us read together in Isaiah chapter 44, in unison, verse 7. And who, as I, shall call and shall declare it, and set it in order for me, since I appointed the ancient people, and the things that are coming and shall come, let them shew unto them. Is God telling us point blank, I know what you guys don't know. I appointed the ancient people. Where do we find the scriptures that give us the evidence to confirm how ancient the God-appointed ancient people are? Let's go to Psalms chapter 90, first two verses. The book of Psalms, chapter 90. Can we get a witness? Classmates, would you let me read verse 1 and would you respond with verse number 2? We're in Psalms chapter 90. I read first verse number 1, a prayer of Moses, the man of God. Lord, Thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever Thou hadst formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, Thou art God. Do we now have two witnesses? Was Psalms chapter 82 our first witness? Quote, God standeth in the congregation of the mighty, He judgeth among the gods, unquote. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 22. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 22. This section of scriptures puzzled me for years. I actually went to Who's Who trying to find out who was who. I was desperate to get an answer on these scriptures. Should have stuck with the Bible. There's enough witnesses that'll clue us in. Proverbs chapter 8. Verse 22, in the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, quote unquote, do we find a third witness? Solomon had the reputation as the wisest man who ever lived. Legend tells us he knew the names of all the demons and called them out. The invisible realm feared him. What did Solomon learn in his relationship with our God? Let us read together in unison out of Proverbs chapter 8, verse number 22. The Lord possessed me in the beginning of His way, before His works of old. Was this before God created all things through Jesus Christ? In our lesson on the beginning, we covered the verses on God creating all things by Jesus Christ. That was Colossians 1:16 and Ephesians 3:9. We're in Proverbs chapter 8. Look at verse 23. Let us read together out of Proverbs chapter 8 in unison, verse 23. I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning, or ever the earth was. This is Solomon. Did Solomon just say we go all the way back to the beginning? Was that before the earth was? Did God do all His creating in the presence of His family? Classmates, we're looking at 24, 25, and 26. We're still in Proverbs chapter 8. Would you take the even-numbered verses and please let me respond with verse 25. We're still in Proverbs chapter 8. You read verse 24. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no fountains abounding with water. Before the mountains were settled, before the hills was I brought forth. while as yet he had not made the earth, nor the fields, nor the highest part of the dust of the world, did the great I Am, God of Israel, Father of our fathers, possess us, his children, and do his works of old, which he created to make in our presence. We're looking at verses 27, 28, 29, 30, and 31. Classmates, would you take the odd-numbered verses, beginning with verse 27? And would you let me respond with the even-numbered verses? We're still in Proverbs chapter 8. You read first verse 27. When he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he set a compass upon the face of the depth. When he established the clouds above. When he strengthened the fountains of the deep. When he gave to the sea his decree that the water should not pass his commandment, when he appointed the foundations of the earth, then I was by him as one brought up with him, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him, rejoicing in the habitable part of his earth. And my delights were with the sons of men. Who are the sons of men? Men is translated from Hebrew word number 120, Adam. Are the sons of men the children of Adam? In verses 22 through 31, look at the pronoun he. Who is he? There's I and he. If Solomon is I, who is he? Is he the Lord, the great I Am, in verse 22? Who is me? How ancient are we, the ancient people of God? Verse 23. Were we, quote, set up from everlasting, from the beginning or ever the earth was? Do we clearly remember the Lord possessing us as a father possesses his children, quote, in the beginning of his way before his works of old, unquote? Do we remember our mother Jerusalem, which is above? Galatians. Is the fall of Adam that catastrophic, dire, disabling, disastrous, extreme, and pandemic, the real pandemic? Are our only remembrances of this strange visions and or dreams? Consider Solomon, the composer of the book of Proverbs. Was he given a clear vision here in verses 22 through 31. We're close to done. Was he given, Solomon, a clear vision here in verses 22 through 31 of Proverbs chapter 8? We need one more help. Let's go to the book of beginnings. First book on God's library shelf, Genesis. Let's go to Genesis chapter 2. Take a look at verse 8. Rending in two ancient books, Genesis and Job. Genesis and Job. In Genesis chapter number 2, let us read together in unison verse number 8. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. The same Hebrew word translated put in Genesis is translated placed in Job. Let's go to Job chapter 20, verse number 4. The material from which the first 11 chapters of Genesis is composed under Moses is as old as the book of Job. Put in place. The indication is relocation. Put in place mean Adam was taken from one place and located in another. Let us read out of Job chapter number 20. In unison, verse number 4, knowest thou not this of old, since man was placed upon earth? of old. Call to mind our lesson, second foundation, two foundation. Quote, of old, unquote, says Jesus, means the foundation of the world and before. We examined that in our second lesson, foundation. That was my personal testimony. You're one of two places where I've given it. Does Adam come from the heavenlies? Did the wicked angels in rebellion with Lucifer take the principalities in place of the small g gods of God's family? Do princes rule principalities? Did Psalms 82:7 say, quote, but ye shall die like Adam and fall like one of the princes? How do the wicked angels feel about our destiny? Do they with bloody passion hate Adam kind viciously with cruelty to all extremity? Do we understand? Isaiah 44, quote, the ancient people. Psalms chapter 90, the Lord, quote, our dwelling place. Before he had, quote, formed the earth and the world, unquote. Proverbs chapter 8. We were from everlasting, from the beginning, or ever the earth was. Psalms 82, ye are God's children of the Most High. 1 John 3, when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And all the other witnesses in the scriptures, old and newer, would we have to be totally unsound in body, soul, and spirit, and insane of mind to choose to walk out on such a destiny as this? Are destiny and destination related? Is weeping and gnashing of teeth a joke? How easy is it to forget who we are? And from where we come, do we need to remain in remembrance? Do we have our Heavenly Father's last name? Small g, God. There is a song that is so ancient that I knew when I heard it that the musician was strumming the protein strings on the ancient Abrahamic genetic code. The first sound you will hear are the bells. Flows on in endless song, a lover's lamentation. We hear the real, though far off, hymn that hails a new creation. Above the two and the strife, we hear his music ringing. He sounds an echo. In our souls, how can we keep from singing? Though the tempest round us roars,
We know the truth he liveth. What though the darkness around us falls? Songs in the night he giveth. No storm can shake our inmost calm. While to that rock we're clinging, since love is Lord of heaven and earth, how can we keep from sinning? When tyrants tremble sick with fear and hear their death knells ringing, when friends rejoice both far and near, how can we keep from singing? In prison cells and dungeons vile, our thoughts to them are winging. When friends by shame are undefiled, how can we keep from Can we